Dear friends in Jesus Christ, certainly you have heard many times the words grace and mercy. Today, we want to look at the meanings of those two words, then I want to introduce you to what I'm calling the grace and mercy coin. That's where we're headed for today. Well, first of all, coming to the word grace, it's a word that we find coming from the Greek word pronounced charis, and the word charis is found in the Greek text 155 times. So it's a fairly common word in the New Testament text. What does it mean? Getting to the meaning here, first of all, we go to Freiburg. He wrote the meaning, God's attitude toward human beings. God's attitude toward human beings. Ways that the word charis is translated, we translate kindness, grace, favor. To go a little bit further on the meaning, we're talking here about God's undeserved and unmerited love and favor. Oftentimes when we think about love in the world today, there's something that attracts us in an object or in a person that now love is going from us to that object, from us to that person. But here, though, we're talking about an unmerited love and favor. As I stated here, God loves us because God is love, not because we are good and somehow deserve his love. Many of you are familiar with taking the word grace, G-R-A-C-E, making a word out of each letter, and we come up with the phrase, God's riches at Christ's expense. Let's think a little bit about what that means. God's riches, what are we talking about? Well, we're talking about God's gifts of forgiveness of sins, spiritual life, eternal salvation, things like that, these great riches of God that we can never earn them, we can never deserve them, but God so much wants us to have them. So God's riches at Christ's expense. What expense did he pay? Well, think about the Son of God being there in the glory of heaven, and now he has to leave the glory of heaven. He has to come down to earth. He has to put on human flesh, the flesh of Mary, and then he lives that sinless life. And then as the Holy Son of God, they nail him to the cross, and he says, Father, forgive them, because they do not know what they're doing. And then when he's on the cross, God the Father takes the sins of the whole world all the way back to Adam and Eve, all the way ahead to the end of time. He places them on Jesus. And then God the Father pours out his wrath upon his Son, and he is giving him the eternal punishment that all of those sins deserve. So your sins and my sins, they were there, and he took our eternal punishment. And when it was all done, he laid down his life. So Christ paid a tremendous price so that we could receive freely spiritual life, forgiveness of sins, eternal salvation. It's not that we are earning or can deserve any of it, but it's all gifts coming from God to us. But it's not because God is gifting us because of anything good in us. It's not that God is gifting us with some kind of cheap gifts that aren't worth much of anything. These are the most valuable gifts in the universe, but we are getting them because of the tremendous price paid by our Lord Jesus Christ. Going on to a familiar verse here with the word grace in it, coming to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So let's think about that a little bit more. In other words, because of God's favor toward us, and not because of any goodness on our part, God has saved us by faith. Let's try to understand a little bit how grace and faith are working together. You know, we understand, okay, I'm saved by grace through faith. What does that mean? Well, going a little bit further here, when we say by grace, we're talking about the grace of God, and the grace of God is making salvation possible. Now, we're not yet saved by faith, but it's because of the grace of God, this undeserved love of God. So that's in place first, we could say. So God loves us because of who God is. God wants us to be with him forever. And maybe we could say, oh, how is God going to get us into the position where he can bring us into heaven? Well, he has to send his son, he has to do all the saving work, and then he has to send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit then has to give us the gift of faith by which we are trusting in Jesus, and then we can reap the benefits of what he has done. But it's the grace of God that moves God to set all these other things up and take all these other actions in order to get us salvation. Grace is God showing this great kindness and favor to us. And then faith, in a sense, that's kind of where the rubber meets the road. That's where we actually get what we need from Jesus. But God has to do that part too. Think about it like this. So when we say through faith, faith is given by the Holy Spirit. It's not that we somehow made it up in ourselves. Faith is given as a gift by the Holy Spirit. Faith is always not only in Jesus, but it is in Jesus for eternal life. So that's the purpose, that's the reason why we are trusting in him for eternal life, for our entrance into heaven. Now, what else is important here? Faith is sustained by the work of the Holy Spirit. And how is the Holy Spirit sustaining our faith? He is working through the Bible. Kind of fits in with what Jesus said there with his temptation in Matthew 4, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Think about it like this. When we take food into our bodies, are we doing something to make that food like digest and to nourish our body? Like, we can't do that. All we can do is put it in our mouth and chew it up and try to swallow it. Even all that's a blessing of God. But God has to do everything that would nourish us. What about when we read the Bible? Are we actually nourishing our own relationship with God? No, we are taking the action to read it and to think about it, but the Holy Spirit is at work in order to nourish our faith, to nourish our relationship with God. What about a summary on the topic of grace? Since we cannot earn God's love or salvation, why can't we? Because we are poor sinners. Let's understand that we desperately need God to love us and save us. And then what is the good news? God does love us and God has saved us. Even though we are rotten sinners, God does love us and God has saved us. That is the good news. Well, coming to the topic of mercy now, the Greek word here is aleus, is how you say the Greek word that we translate mercy. And aleus in its various forms is found 27 times in the New Testament. So thinking about the definition here, going back to Freiburg again, he said the definition of mercy, gracious action demonstrating God's compassion. We just talked about grace. So what kind of action? Kind action, favorable action, gracious action, demonstrating God's compassion, demonstrating God's concern for us. So though we are rotten sinners deserving nothing good, God still has an eternal concern for us. So he's concerned about our lives now. He's especially concerned about our lives forever and ever. I looked on Google and I found this definition of mercy, and I thought it was interesting. It does take in another aspect of mercy, so in a way there's a couple ways to look at it here. Notice the definition: compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. Isn't that how God's mercy is? Think about what Jesus said here in Matthew 10. Jesus said to his disciples, "Fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Let's understand That is God's position. God has all the power, and God has every right to, for every one of us in the entire world, to destroy all of us, soul and body, in hell. But when we think about God's mercy, though, what is he doing? He's holding back hell from us, and he poured it out upon Jesus when he was on the cross. Let's always remember that God can't just say, well, you guys go to church and you seem like you're nice people, and I'll welcome you into heaven. God cannot do that. See, God is a holy God. God is a just God. God cannot compromise. So from God's perspective, sin has been committed, and eternal punishment must be paid. That's where we're at. There's no compromise. That's why God had to take our sins, and then God had to pour out the full power, the full wrath of his eternal punishment upon Jesus. Jesus had to pay the entire price. And what did he say right before he died? He said, "It is finished." A better way to put it is, Jesus said, "It has been paid in full." That is such great news for the entire world, for you and me, and for all people. We think about the popular passage in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. So we understand we have earned something horrible by our sinning. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So did you catch that there? Eternal life is not only the gift of God, but it's emphasizing it is the free gift of God. In other words, there's nothing in us that made us deserving of getting that eternal life. So it's a completely free gift. Why? Because of the grace and the mercy of God, and because of the finished work of Christ, and because of the work of the Holy Spirit to get us the benefits of what Jesus has done. It's completely free for us, but let's treasure it more than anything else in our lives, because that free gift of God, there's nothing at all that is even close to the value of that gift that God has given to us in Christ. Going to an example here on mercy, here in Titus chapter 3, God saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy. Grace and mercy are different in a sense, but they're also so very similar, and they also work together so much. If you take out the middle part there, you can simply read, God saved us according to his mercy. So here is God loving us with his grace, and then we could say that the grace of God moved God to show mercy. So because God is loving us, though we do not deserve it, that moved God to take our sins, put them on Christ, punish him instead, and to hold back the punishment from us because he gave it to his son. And then coming to a summary here on mercy. So there's nothing in our thoughts, words, or deeds that move God to save us. Instead, God showed us mercy by holding back the punishment we do deserve and gifting us with the eternal salvation we do not deserve. We come to the topic here of the grace and mercy coin. So it looks like that on each side. I have coins right here I'm going to share with you a little bit later. But thinking about the coin, I want to talk about the grace side of the coin and then talk about the mercy side of the coin, and then we'll be done. So going to the grace side of the coin, the symbol on that side is a dove. And as we think about the dove, we're thinking about the Holy Spirit. And what does the Holy Spirit do? He's at work through holy baptism. He's at work through the Bible in order to give us the benefits of what Jesus has done. Like the Bible says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So anyone who is truly in Christ, the Holy Spirit has brought him to Christ, and the Holy Spirit is also keeping us in Christ. thinking about the actual words on the grace side of the coin, it says, grace is when God gives you what you don't deserve. It's a pretty concise way of talking about grace. Grace is when God gives you what you don't deserve. So we don't deserve eternal salvation, but God is giving it to us. God is gifting it to us through Jesus. And then there's a Bible reference on that side, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. It says, now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. When you think about the grace part of that passage, it's saying that we have eternal comfort and we have good hope. We have those two great, great blessings only because of the grace of God. When we think about our entrance into heaven, the devil wants us to think about all of our sins. He wants us to despair. He wants us to give up. What does God want us to think about? God wants us to think about his grace by which we have the gift of eternal life. He wants us to know his word is true. We have that eternal life. We have it through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then on the mercy side of the coin, first of all, coming to the symbol, we have a cross. And of course, the cross is for Jesus and his saving work. So whenever we see a cross, we should think about how he bore our sins, but not only our sins, but he also bore our eternal punishment. And that's how he functioned as the Lamb of God. And that's how he took away the sin of the world. So think about going back 1,500 years before the time of Christ. We think about how God commanded them regarding the Passover to take the lamb and sacrifice the lamb. Don't break any of its bones and all the different things. All that was pointing exactly to our Lord Jesus Christ. All the different Passover celebrations, all the different lambs that were put to death. They said that in the time of Jesus, when they would celebrate the Passover, they would require about 100,000 lambs to be sacrificed in order that they could eat the Passover meal at the time of Jesus. Understand that every lamb, every drop of blood from the time of Moses to that time of Jesus and going up to Good Friday, all of that was pointing to Jesus, who is that ultimate Lamb of God and who did take away the sin of the world. Let's so greatly rejoice in who he is and what he did for us. And then on the mercy side of the coin, we have these words. Mercy is when God spares you what you do deserve. So we do deserve eternal punishment, for the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve. That's what we have earned. But what does God do? God spares us what we deserve. He does that because of the finished work of Christ and because we have a relationship with him by the work of the Holy Spirit. So we have the benefits of what he has done. And then the scripture reference on the mercy side of the coin, 1 Peter chapter 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So it is God's mercy that moved God to give us spiritual life in Christ, so that we are alive now in two ways. We're not only physically alive, but we are spiritually alive. So whenever I think about speaking at a funeral, and I believe the person who has died in Christ, yes, we have a dead body, but the person who died is not dead. That person was spiritually alive, and when that person's body stopped living, who that person really is, that person continues to be alive with God. God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. That person is living with God. God wants us to understand that, and when the time is right, God is going to send Jesus back. He's going to raise every single person's body back to life. They will be transformed from perishable to imperishable. They will be put back together, body, soul, and spirit. And then, finally, we will all have the fullness of eternal life. Wow, we are so blessed now. We are blessed even when we die. That's a step up, and we're going to be blessed way beyond our comprehension for all eternity. And what could we say? It's really all because of the grace and mercy of our great God, and of course the work of Jesus, the work of the Holy Spirit, and so on. Let's understand how greatly we are blessed. Let's give hearty thanks to God. And I hope that you're even excited about getting some coins and telling other people about the greatness of God's grace and mercy, what that means to us, what God did for them, maybe sharing a coin with them. And hopefully they will get it by the work of the Holy Spirit, and hopefully they will be brought in to the kingdom of God, and hopefully us and them will be celebrating for all eternity in the presence of our great God. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, help us to greatly rejoice in your grace and mercy. Help us to think about it more and more. Help us to truly get how important it is, how it does apply to our lives. And then help us to take advantage of using these coins in order to show them to someone, explain them to someone, give a person a coin. And we pray that you would work through these coins in order that people would see the truth, and that you would lead them to repent and to be with you forever and ever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.